Open in your Bibles, please, with me to the book of Matthew and the 28th chapter, the concluding chapter of the gospel as recorded for us, the good news as recorded for us by Matthew. I'm going to read all 28 verses of this chapter, and then we're going to focus on verses 5 and 6 primarily. Matthew chapter 28. And I begin our scripture reading with the first verse. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as he went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that I go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, under the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let us bow for prayer as we begin to approach God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that the book before us this morning is indeed the very word of God, translated from the original languages for our benefit. Father, we find Christ, remember Christ saying, Blessed are your ears, for they hear, and your eyes, for they see. And so, Lord, today, give us blessed ears and blessed eyes. Help us today to look into thy word with the eyes of faith. Give us thy spirit to teach us and instruct us in the word. And Father, may we be improved in grace today. May we be made more like Christ and less like the old filthy man that we are to crucify the flesh. Father, bless thy truth to our hearts. Lord, I am nothing but a stumbling, bumbling man. And who is sufficient to these things? But Father, we thank you that you have chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And Lord, you could have sent your angels to proclaim your gospel today, but you would rather have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, and the foolish things to confound the wise. And so, Lord, this morning I plead for the help of thy Spirit to rightly divide the word of truth for the blessing of your people and the glory of your Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, we're going to focus our attention this morning on the fifth and sixth verse, where in verse 5 we read, "And the angel answered and said unto them, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Imagine the fear and distress of the disciples and these women, some of whom had followed Christ for 3 years, 3.5 years. They had great ambitions. We find the disciples asking who would be greatest in the kingdom of God. They were concerned about earthly material things. And though they were with Christ and heard his teaching firsthand, you know, as this expression goes, it went in one ear and out the other. They had all kinds of errant understandings of what Christ was teaching. They did not comprehend. And we find even on the road to Emmaus that they don't recognize him. We find Mary, when he appears to Mary Magdalene, she thinks he's the gardener. They still were not fully perceiving spiritual truth. But they had great high hopes for this Jesus of Nazareth who they followed. He had told them that he must go to Jerusalem and there he'd be crucified and rise again. But when it happened, they were frightened. The disciples fled. We find that John followed afar off. Peter warmed himself beside the fire of the enemies of those that hated Christ and then denied the Lord. And so here on the resurrection morning, we find not the disciples coming, but we find the women coming. They had more guts, as they say, more bravery, a greater attachment to Christ than even the disciples. Those that are forgiven much, love much. Mary Magdalene, out of whom were cast 7 demons. What she knew of the power of Christ and how she must have loved him. Folks, I've never had any demons cast out of me. But I've had an awful lot of sin removed. I've known an amazing grace. But would I have loved him enough to head to that tomb that morning? You see, the disciples fled because they were afraid that they would be arrested like Christ. These women knew that there was soldiers there. They knew who was guarding the tomb. They knew that the king's seal was upon it. And you don't break the king's seal. And yet they were going with spices to anoint the body. I don't know how they thought they'd move the stone. I don't know how they thought they would get away with moving the stone, breaking that seal. I don't know how they thought they would deal with the soldiers. But they came. And yet it would appear that even in their coming to the tomb, they didn't comprehend that he wasn't going to be there. They were coming to anoint the body. But we read in our call to worship this morning that prophetic passage in Psalm 16. Thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. His body was not going to rot in that tomb. It was prophesied and fulfilled that he would rise again. Mary Magdalene had much to love. We find that there was an earthquake. And we could say there was another earthquake. But it says it was a great earthquake. The Bible scholars will say, well, this was just an aftershock of the earthquake that took place when Christ was crucified. No, folks, this wasn't an aftershock. This was a great earthquake. And you know, I think this one was greater than the one that split the mountain. This one split the tomb. The angel came down and there was a great earthquake. And I said it split the tomb, and that's not actually correct because it says the angel rolled the stone away. But there was a great earthquake. And we find that these Roman soldiers fell away as dead men. It's interesting that there's an angel there. And I would just point out that Matthew says one angel, and we find in Mark and Luke 2 angels. And there's dispute over whether it was just Mary and the other Mary, or if there was a third Mary and another there with them. And the reprobates will say, "Ah, see, here's contradictions in the Word of God, because we have four accounts of the resurrection, and all four differ in some little area. One says two angels, one says one angel. See, the Word of God must not be true." And yet, Matthew is referring to the angel speaking, but that does not preclude that there was another angel. And so the Word of God is true. And if four people recount the same event, there may be minor differences in the way they express it, but none of those differences change the truth. Mm-hmm. It's one account, one story, and it all fits together. That's free. I won't charge you for that little bit this morning. Glory. These soldiers that fainted as dead men, they were used to adversity. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some people that tremble easy, and other people that are afraid of nothing. These were special ops. These were Navy SEALs. These weren't just, you know, new recruits. But they faced a battle they'd never faced before. There was a foe to them that made them quake, and it was an angel. But I point out to you first what the angel says to the women. If you look at verse 5, "And the angel answered and said unto the women," not the soldiers who are fainted away dead, "the angel said unto the women, fear not ye." You see, these Roman soldiers had every reason to be afraid. They were probably the same ones that had just crucified him. These soldiers did not know the mercy of God, but rather they were under the wrath of God, and these soldiers had every reason to faint away in fear as dead men. But the angel says to these women who come in great love seeking Christ, "Fear not ye." Do you see the difference there? Mm-hmm. There's a matter of separation. And to those that come seeking Christ in repentant faith, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear. But to those that stand in rebellion against God, you better fear. You have every reason to faint away as a dead man, for you are a dead man. For you are dead in trespasses and sins. But to those that come to Christ in faith, we are alive from the dead, because he is risen. The soldiers had good reason to fear. But the first words that this angel speaks is, "Fear not ye." You do not need to fear. I am not come here for your judgment. I am come here to reveal to you your Savior. Mm-hmm. "Fear not ye," the angel says to these women. And further he says, "For I know that ye seek Jesus." I know why you're here. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We'll all give an answer. But why will we appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Not for condemnation. Mm-hmm. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit, but not the flesh, but after the Spirit."
That's right.
There's no condemnation for us. There was no condemnation for these women. But oh, what a difference with these soldiers. Mm-hmm. These women, to these women, he was not an angel of death, but an angel of mercy. "There's no fear in love. For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." You know, a lot of people would claim to seek Jesus, but they're not seeking Jesus, which was crucified. There's a lot of people that are looking for a ticket to get out of hell, so to speak, to use the silly vernacular. They want a ticket for the gospel train. But they're not seeking Jesus, which was crucified. You see, When we seek Jesus, which was crucified, we are acknowledging that I am crucified with him. To seek Jesus, which was crucified, is to seek the sin bearer. It's not to seek the souvenir. It's not to seek the Jesus loves everybody and I need to get in that.
Go ahead.
But rather, to seek him which was crucified was a reproach. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. And you see, the reason that Peter denied Christ was he didn't want to be associated with one that was crucified. The reason the disciples fled were they were afraid to be associated with one that was crucified. But this angel says to these women, "Fear not ye, I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." That last part of the phrase is vital to understanding what's taking place here. They are going to him without the camp, as we read in Hebrews. They are identifying themselves with the crucified one before the Roman soldiers that crucified him, who were there at the order of the chief priests who ordered the crucified him, who were there under the authority of Pilate, who authorized to crucify him. This was a dangerous association. This was an unpopular association. They were Jewish women. They would be ostracized and kicked out of their Jewish families. I saw a thing recently about a young Jewish individual who believed in Christ and was shunned by their family because they had left Judaism. They had forsaken the law to cling to Christ. And their family viewed them as dead. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. You hear a lot today about what's called the prosperity gospel. Folks, there's no prosperity gospel in this passage.
Right.
They weren't coming to be wealthy, healthy, and wise. They were seeking the crucified one. And folks, that's the Jesus we seek. Not the Jesus, as Brother Vince mentioned in Sunday school, of a picture on the wall. I've never seen a picture. Never seen a picture of Jesus. Have you?
Right.
No. Well, actually, I have, because he's revealed. This is the picture of Jesus. If you want to see him, this is the place he can be seen.
That's right.
Amen.
They came seeking a crucified Savior. And it's marvelous that we read in Hebrews that Moses, long, long years before the birth of Christ, esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt. He was seeking the same Messiah that was raised from the dead, and the same Messiah that we come seeking today. Blessed are ye, Luke 6, when men shall hate you, and they shall separate from you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast you out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. These women came seeking Jesus who was crucified. They did not need to fear this angel, because this angel was come for their blessing and not for their condemnation. But then look, there's not only a message of comfort, but we find a message of great victory. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. He's not here. You know, no other religion can make that claim. It's been pointed out many times before that you can find the tombs of many religious leaders. I don't believe we know where the tomb of Jesus is. There's the garden tomb. No, it doesn't fit the scripture. It's not the one. The garden tomb, if you've seen pictures of it, or maybe some of you have actually visited it, it's got this great big doorway. People walk in, but we read that Mary stooped down and looked in, and Peter stooped down. No, it's not the right one. Mm-hmm. And then there's the one in a church that if you want to see it, you got to pay money for that one. Well, that kind of answers the question right there, doesn't it? No, we don't have the tomb where Christ was buried, but we can see it because it's described for us. We have a visual description of it in His Word. And so, He is not here. What a glorious testimony of victory. And the Luke passage in Luke 24, verses 5 and 6. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake to you when He was in Galilee? You see, the reason that the disciples were so fearful is they did not understand the Scriptures. Oh, slow of heart to believe all the prophets we read on the road to Emmaus. They just didn't believe. They didn't understand. Their eyes were still veiled. But hallelujah, we stand in the New Testament. And see, the New Testament really begins with the resurrection. You know, before that point, the Judeal system of the Old Testament was still standing. That's really where your Old Testament ends and your New Testament begins. And we go right into the Acts of the Apostles, the history of the early church, and the epistles, the instruction to the early church. But really, your Old Testament ends with the Gospels. It's all changed now. The veil is split from top to bottom. We are able to gaze into the Holy of Holies, and we are invited to come boldly to the throne of grace, and we need no human priest because we have a great high priest. And that's the message here. He's not here. The body's gone. He is not here. But He is risen. He is risen as He said. In the account of John, we find Mary saying, if you've taken Him away, let me know, and I'll go take care of the body. Now, Mary, look at me. Turn around. Open your eyes. He is risen. But it doesn't simply just say He is risen. It says He is risen as He said. Destroy this body, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. He had told them that He was going to rise. In Matthew 16, 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show His disciples how that they must go into Jerusalem. He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and rise the same day. He had told them, but they did not receive His message. He is not here. He is risen, just like He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Come see the place where the Lord lay. In the John passage, John 20, verses 6, 7, and 8, read, then cometh Simon Peter, following Him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloth lie, and the napkin, which was about His head, lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in its place, by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and saw and believed. We find in this passage, down in verse 11 through 15, that the soldiers go back to the chief priests and they get everybody together. The same crowd that had cried, crucify Him, crucify Him. And if you look at verse 11, it says, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. Those words are important. These soldiers came in, they said, look, there was an angel. There was an earthquake. The angel broke the seal. The angel rolled away the stone. And now it's empty. Remember Judas? When Judas realized his great sin, his great error in betraying Christ, his response was to go out and hang himself. I believe in the best repentance he could come up with. He couldn't live with his sin. I'm not going to get into that. I don't know if Judas is in heaven or not. But he couldn't live with his sin. He took his own life. The response of these chief priests, these elders, when they are told all. These soldiers aren't going to lie to them, folks. The soldiers told them exactly what happened. And they did not repent. Rather, they denied the truth. And they did their best to hide the truth. You see, fake news is no new phenomenon. Fake news has been around for a long time. It's still reported among the Jews. They're still telling the same lie. I read it on the internet. Must be true.
Obviously.
Think about it. The punishment for a Roman soldier sleeping on duty was death. I had to give him large money. Look at the text. I gave him large money. I had to really pay for this lie. I mean, you talk about, I forget what it is, the steel dossier. That's what it is. They spent a lot of money on it. It was an expensive proposition to come up with a bunch of lies. They gave him large money. We're to believe that in the whole company of soldiers, we don't know how many, but every one of them fell asleep. I mean, I've seen some of you fall asleep during church. Let's be honest here, folks. But if the whole congregation fell asleep, yeah, that would be... Yeah, don't you think if one of them was falling asleep, they'll say, "Hey, buddy, wake up, man! You're my friend. I don't want you to be in trouble. Wake up!" But we all, every one of us, fell asleep. Not going to happen. We're to believe that the disciples who fled suddenly are bold enough to face armed soldiers. The disciples who have fled in terror, but now they're back and they're going to face these soldiers. We are expected to believe that the disciples broke the seal and rolled away the stone but didn't make a sound. Did you ever hear a rock rolling across another rock? It's not quiet, folks. And these weren't stones that had been quarried with modern material. They'd been quarried with hammer and chisel. But the disciples didn't wake up. We are supposed to believe that men who are sound asleep. You ever sleep with your eyes open? No. Even people that do sleep with their eyes open generally don't see anything. How'd they know it was the disciples? They were asleep. But they recognized the disciples while they were asleep. And if you've ever seen crime scene photos of a place that's recently been robbed. Most thieves leave things in good order behind them, don't they? No, they leave chaos. They leave a mess. And you may have seen pictures of people, videos of people stealing whole ATM machines from a convenience store. And they'll wrap a chain and pull it through the wall or whatever. They don't open it there. They take the whole works. But the disciples took the body out of the grave clothes. They didn't just grab the body and run. And they managed to leave the grave clothes in the form of the body. And they took the time, I guess the soldiers are really snoring loud, they took the time to fold up the napkin and set it aside. We're to believe that. You see, it was well known that Pilate was very bribable. You had a corrupt politician.
Shocked.
And so when the elders and chief priests said to these soldiers, "If it come to Pilate's ears, we'll secure you. We'll take care of it." The soldiers said, "Wow, I'm so glad it's Pilate." Because he's corrupt to the core. He's easy to buy. We're all right. And so they took the money and told the story. And it's reported to this day. Now, why did I go through that long recitation? For this reason and this reason only. We see the place where he lay and rejoice. Mm-hmm. The world sees the place where he lays and they scoff and they mock. And they are far willing to believe a ridiculous story than they are to repent at the truth.
Yes.
Folks, if I can put it in a picture and an expression. This morning, if you can see the place where he lay, rejoice!
Right.
Amen.
And if you can't, come see the place where he lay. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt believe. If thou believest with all thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To these fearful ladies, he's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come see the place. Mm-hmm. The evidence is here for those that will see it. Mm-hmm. The truth is here for those that will believe it. But to the rest, he will give them a strong delusion that they may believe a lie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the lie is right. Before us. The verse I quoted was Romans 10:8, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Mm-hmm. Come see the place where he lived, the place where he lay. And then finally, go quickly, tell his disciples, go tell. Fear not. Come see. Go tell. What a glorious, simple outline of this passage. Fear not. Come see. Go tell. The outline, which I didn't give you deliberately as we went through the passage, is this. We have a word of comfort. Fear not. A word of victory. He is not here. He is risen. A word of fulfillment. As he said. A word of invitation. Come see where the Lord lay. And a word of commission. Go tell. Go tell his disciples that he is not here. Folks, we serve a risen Savior. The world is more ready to believe a lie than the truth. But Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he has gloriously declared, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. No man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. And so, friend, this morning, we serve a glorious risen Savior. We have a glorious message to tell. The world is believing the fake news, but we proclaim the truth. Mm-hmm. Fear not, ye. He's risen, as he said. Let us stand for prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, that though we have read the account of the resurrection so many times, yet it's always fresh and new. There's always something more to understand and to learn. Teach us, thy people, by thy truth, we pray. Glorify thy Son in us. Make us lights in a dark world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.